Beginning a new series today, and we're entitling it Dare to Dream. It's not going to be a long series, but at the same time, I feel compelled by the Lord that you and I personally, we need to think beyond ourselves. You know, as a church, we have decided to dream beyond ourselves, to push ourselves as a congregation. And I praise the Lord that we are seeing the fruit of that right now. This year is going to be an incredible year because we have dreamers in our leadership. We have dreamers in the congregation. We have people who have sensed the Lord's leadership and moved forward with that to see it accomplished for the glory of God. But individually, where does it all begin? You know, I was thinking about the fact that everything is possible today was at one time impossible. How many of y'all have flown in an airplane before? Can you raise your hand if you've flown an airplane? Look, I mean, that is an incredible amount. Okay, who has not flown an airplane and you're not going to? Okay, not going to, yeah. Those are the ones who will tell me after the service, Pastor, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to, and that's where I intend to stay. But for the majority of us, we'll either have flown or have already flown in our lifetime, and that was something just a little over 100 years ago that was unthinkable, impossible, unimaginable. I mean, people just did not think about it. If God intended us to fly, He would have given us wings like a bird. That's what was said at the time. And yet two individuals, in the state of North Carolina, no less, the Wright brothers in 1903 flew. And it was just for a short time, but it launched an incredible development to where now we have airplanes going all over the place all the time. And travel, giving us the ability to travel all over the world in just record speeds. But it was at one time unthinkable, impossible, improbable. And yet now it's possible. It's something that we even take for granted. You know, where did that come from? Where did the Wright brothers really have that idea just birthed inside of them? They were the sons of a preacher. And this preacher came home when these two were just boys. And he brought home something from his trip that was made out of bamboo. And it had like a little, it didn't have a motor. It used a rubber band to move the little propellers around and around. And he twirled it up like you've probably done with a rubber band before. Twirled it up and let it go. And just like a helicopter, it went across the room. And then it hit the wall up towards the ceiling. And then it broke and fell apart. And those boys never forgot that little toy that was brought home to them one day, and it flew across the room. And 25 years after that, these young men birthed a movement that is now what we enjoy today. But it took a dream. It took a concept. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves that you know, everything that has been invented has already been invented. Well, if that were the case, we wouldn't have computers. And even when computers came out, you think to yourself, well, that's all we need is we need computers. Now we have computers in our pockets or in our pocketbooks. And now, you know, things continue to develop. All because you have dreamers who are willing to go beyond themselves. And I say this to you, that God has been at work in our lives and in our heart and has birthed those dreams, and that is what we want to talk about over the next several weeks. The first thing I want you to see is that where does a dream begin? Not in just anybody's life. We're not talking about a selfish dream. We're not talking about something that is that just we manufacture on our own. But as Christians, does God care to birth something in our heart to push us beyond ourselves and to do something that I would even say is miraculous? You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about how God is able to do exceedingly more than we have ever imagined. God is a dreamer, and He puts dreams inside of our hearts. And our goal as Christians is to discover what is that for us. We're going to go through several scriptures, but I want to start with one passage in particular, one verse. And if you are able, physically able, if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's word, it's found in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read two versions. The first is the New King James, and then the second is the New International Version. But it says this in verse 18, "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day." You say that doesn't make sense to me. That's why we're reading the New International Version, just for clarity. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, in our room this morning, we have people who are dreamers. We have people who have dreamed at one time, and people who have lost their ability to dream. Lord, I pray that you would help them recover that this day. Father, help us realize that those things that you've placed inside of our hearts, maybe they are not being fulfilled right this moment, but you have a purpose, you have a plan, you have something in mind. Father, for every single one of us, my prayer is that we not just seek our own dreams, but we seek your dreams for our lives. You birth inside of us a vision, an idea, a concept to push us to where we're more dependent upon you, to where when it's accomplished, all we can do is look back and say, "To God be the glory." Father God, I pray you would speak to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Where do dreams come from? Where do dreams come from? You know, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says in the last days, when God's Spirit would be poured out on all men, it says that your old men will see dreams, your young men will see visions. And God is the one, by His Holy Spirit, the one who has put those dreams inside of you. Let me ask you a question. You know, when's the last time that you really just took time to think and pray, to just dream a little bit? It seems like as children, we were able to dream easily. Things came to our mind. We were going to accomplish this. We were going to accomplish that. And then somewhere along the line, reality sets in. And little by little, those dreams begin to fade away to real life. This morning, I want you to see that God has put a dream inside of each one of our hearts. You say, "I don't know what it is." Well, hopefully, I pray that you won't stop until you discover what that dream is. Where do dreams come from? How do I discover a dream? We're going to see it in the life of Joseph, and we're going to get there in a moment. But the first thing I just want you to see is what does God do to put a dream inside of our heart? First thing I want you to see is sometimes it just comes out of sheer desire. Just sheer desire. Did you know you can write this verse of Scripture down? It's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, I want to read it for you. He says, God's covenant with David, in chapter 7, verse 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now it came to pass, the king was dwelling in his house. The Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies," talking about King David, all around. "The king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside of tent curtains.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" And so David began to dream. He said, "How is it that I have this beautiful house, and yet God doesn't have a real house to dwell in?" And he had this idea, this concept, this dream, if you will, to build a temple for God. And so he goes to the prophet to describe this. He says, "I want to do something." And Nathan says, "Go and do what's in your heart to do." And then later on, the prophet went back and said, "No, you're not the one that can build this temple, because you have been a man of war. But your son, when your son is king, your son will build this temple for me." Who put that dream inside of King David's heart? God did. God put this dream inside of David's heart. It was just a desire. In Romans chapter 15, I believe, it talks about how Paul had a desire not to preach where there was already a work going on. It was just a desire. My ambition is to just preach where the name of Jesus has not been known. And so that you say, why did Paul do what he did? Because of a desire. A little seedling of a dream that I'm going to go plant churches where the name of Jesus is not known. And quite frankly, his missionary philosophy or strategy was to go to kind of more metropolitan areas and then let the metropolitan areas have a base of operation for the gospel that would then work its way out into the villages, into the area, surrounding areas. But the idea is, where did that come from? It was just a desire. Who put it there? God put it there. Do you have a desire? Is there something that has come in your heart? Just a seedling, just an idea. Do you know ideas are fragile things? Could you imagine, have you ever worked with bubbles? You know, imagine bubbles where if you were to see that bubble just floating through the air, and then you're quick, you're trying to keep it away from the jagged rocks, or you're trying to keep it away from even the pointy grass. But why? Because it's going to pop. Ideas are that way. I never forget that even in this church, we've had things that have been able to get off the ground that we're seeing fulfilled just because there has been a Christian man or a Christian woman who has come with this idea. They say, I don't even know if this is an idea that we want to pursue, but it's just an idea. I was thinking of one of our young adults who came with the idea, said, you know, I wonder what it would look like if we were to use maybe all these fields that we're going to build. I wonder what it would look like to use it to play cricket on, to reach out to an international community that loves cricket. Now, I don't know how to play cricket. Do you know how to play cricket? Yes? Who knows how to play cricket? Good. Oh, Philip. Okay, great. That's wonderful because nobody in our leadership that's talked about it knows how to play it. But if it's going to help reach people for the gospel, we say, let's do it. What I'm saying is that idea is just an idea. Where did it come from? We believe it came from the Lord. And little by little, that idea has to be handled with kid gloves. It starts with a desire. Perhaps it starts with something else. Perhaps it starts with a direction from the Lord. I was thinking of Abraham in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where Abraham is just worshiping God, and God speaks directly to Abraham and says, leave your comfortable area and go to this area. You don't even know where I'm taking you, but I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to bless other nations through you. And it's just a direction. And Abraham doesn't know everything, but he knows a little something, and he knows that he needs to obey God. You know, I find it to be true with this passage in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, where it's describing the path of the righteous are like the rising sun. Have you ever walked outside when it's early in the morning and it's still dark outside, and maybe you don't see the path in front of you, and yet little by little that sun creeps up, and then you see a little bit more. Maybe it's a little foggy, a little hazy, but then you see a little bit more, and it says until the full light of day. That's noon, and you can see everything around you. It says the path of the righteous is like that. Perhaps you're here this morning, and it's early in the morning for you, where it's very dark. Maybe it's just enough light for you to see the couple of steps ahead of you. And you don't see the whole picture, but you're just trying to follow the direction that God has led you down. You say, I don't know everything, but I know a little something. Guess what? God's dreams can be discovered just by direction, just by taking that next step to where the sun is rising a little bit more at a time, where you see a little bit more, until God finally shows you exactly what that dream will look like. I don't know about you, but that resonates in my heart. That idea that little by little, the light comes up, and I can finally begin to see, what does it look like? I've talked to some who have told me that they feel led to the mission field, that they don't know. They're just praying about it. They're pondering, what does God have for me? I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm thinking of Georgia and the Jamaican mission work that we've got going on right now. We're fully developed and fully immersed in that, but it was a time when that was just a dream. It was just a concept. I want to do something for the poor children in my hometown in Jamaica. I want to give care kits for them. I want to help them medically. I want to give them some hope for their schoolwork. I want to do something. I want to share the gospel with these children. And now, to date, we had 450 kids every day for Vacation Bible School. 85% of them completely unchurched. Little kids coming by themselves. Where did that come from? It came from a seedling idea that God put inside of one person's heart. And then we began to say yes. Maybe we don't know all of it, but we take the next step. Take the next step. I remember the first year that we went and we looked around. We said, we've got to do something better. We've got to do something. We've got to get it under a different location. So we dreamed a little bit more and we took another step. And now it's more fully developed than it was before. Hopefully, God willing, it's going to be even stronger this year. Why? Because the light is shining just a little bit brighter. Because we see a little bit more. We see what's going on. Sometimes God's dreams are shown up by destiny. Just sheer destiny. Are there some things that have gone on in your heart from early on that you just know this is going to happen? God's going to do something. That's the way I feel about our church. Because God has placed us here right in the middle of an incredibly high growth area. People are coming from all over, not just to this church, but to this area. God has given us sovereignly, placed within our hands, the ability to grow. We have land. We have the ability to build buildings. We have the ability to have fields. All of those things are just a sheer sign of destiny for our church. Do you see it? Do you see it? What God could do. I think of that when I think of the life of Joseph. We know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. God gave him this, his dad gave him this beautiful coat, and none of the other brothers had this coat. And Joseph, as a young man, he goes to his brothers and says, God has given me a dream. And in this dream, all of you are going to bow down to me. And they say, right, right. Same thing that you would say if your brother said, and you're all going to bow to me. But yet God had a purpose of putting this dream inside of Joseph's heart. There's a seedling. How are dreams born? Sometimes they're born out of destiny. Sometimes you see the whole scope and picture. Sometimes it's out of desire. Listen, sometimes it's out of, hear me, a holy discontent. A holy discontent. Can you write this verse of scripture down? It's in Exodus. It's in Exodus. I find it in the story of Moses. In the story of Moses, in Exodus chapter 2, it describes an event where Moses saw the oppression of his people. In verse 11, it says, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew out of his brethren. And in verse 12, so he looked this way and looked that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. There was something inside of him that says, this can't go on. This oppression cannot continue. Something has to be done. And mind you, he should not have done what he did. But at the same time, it's expressing this discontent that God put inside of Moses. That God would pull on 40 years later. 40 years he's in the desert. 40 years he's away from Egypt. And God speaks to him from a burning bush and says, go, set my people free. Go and speak to Pharaoh. I have destined you for this. And you know what Moses could go back to in his mind? He could go back to that moment where he saw the Egyptians hurting his own people. There was a discontent that says, I can't live with this. Paul is described in the book of Acts when he's walking around and he doesn't intend to preach the gospel in this particular area. It's just a holding place. And he's not going to do anything. But it says that it just bothered him so much that he had to preach. He's looking around at all of the idols that people are chasing after and he just can't stand it anymore. What is that? That's a holy discontent. Is there any kind of discontent in your life where you look at something and say, this is not as it should be? You say, what is that? Quite frankly, it could be the seedlings of a dream that God puts in your heart. I remember when a friend of mine who told me about a people group whose nation, whose country had been closed off to hearing the gospel. I mean, they were not allowed to hear the gospel. They were not allowed to even own Bibles in their own land. And this friend of mine said that we're going to go, and if you'd like to come, you can help spread the Bibles to this people group that where the nation is closed. The government won't let them have it. And I said, sign me up. Why? Because something on the inside of me said every person should have a chance to read a Bible. Every person should have a chance. What is that? It's a holy discontent. What is it in you? You know, a couple years ago, I remember hearing this story from one of our leaders when we were dreaming and thinking about building buildings. And you know what they said? They hearkened back to this idea where we had parents come in to the building to drop off their children. They would see how small our classrooms were. And they would see all of the children that were in there. Praise the Lord. And then they would look and they would say, it's too small. We can't keep our kids here. So then they took their kids and went back home, never to darken the doors of our church again. And did you know that was the impetus in their heart, in our leaders' hearts, to say something has to be done. What is that? It's the start of a dream. It's the start of an idea, a concept. God uses that discontent in our life. God uses those desires in our heart. God uses the idea of a destiny, all of these things, to help stir us into action. Another way that God stirs us is through the idea of duty. There's a sense of duty. Now think of this. Solomon sees his dad stockpile this big old amount of stuff to help build the temple. And then David hands it off to Solomon and says, I can't build it, but you're going to build it. It took years, years to not just stockpile, but it took years to see that building, that temple built. This wasn't Solomon's dream. This was David's dream that Solomon was completing. You can write this verse of Scripture down. It's in Titus chapter 1, where Paul is speaking to his ministry friend, Titus, who was a strong man. And it says this in verse 5. It says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Then he talks about what kind of elders that you need to look for. And then in verse 10 he says, for there are many insubordinate. He's describing Crete. There are many insubordinate, rebellious, both idle talkers, they're deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole household teachings, teaching things which they ought not to, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And he says in verse 13, this testimony is true. How would you like to go to Crete? We've talked about the church at Philippi. What a wonderful church, right? What about Crete? Here Titus is saying, God, where do you want me to go? Titus, called to the ministry, preaching the gospel, teaching, helping to lead the church of the first century. And he says, God, where do you want me to go? And then he uses a man by the name of Paul to say, Titus, I believe God wants you to go somewhere. Where do you want me to go? You want me to go to Philippi? No, that's not where I was thinking. You want me to go to Jerusalem? Nope, that's not where I wanted you to go. How about Ephesus, where this beautiful church is? Nope, that's not where I want. I want you to go to Crete. What is at Crete? You've heard the saying about the Cretans. They're all always liars and they're always lazy gluttons. Don't send me to Crete. Oh, no, that's why I'm sending you to Crete. Where did the dream come from? God's dream came across as a sense of duty. It wasn't Titus's dream. It was Paul's dream. God was speaking through Paul to Titus to say, this is your assignment. This is what I need you to do for the kingdom to advance. Solomon, here's the materials. You need to use the next several years to build this temple. It's your sign of duty. Moses, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and you're going to lead them into the promised land. Oh, praise the Lord. And then Moses is old now. He's up in years, and he's about to enter the promised land. No, Moses, you can't enter the promised land. You can see it, but you're not going to lead them. There's somebody else who I've prepared to lead the people into the promised land. His name is Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, you can look it up later, the very first statement that God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Lead all of these people into the promised land. What is that? It's a sense of duty. It's fulfilling something that's happening right now. Why do I hearken to that in our case? Did you know, I know that there are people in this room who started with one dream and then life happened. And God is giving you another dream. Perhaps you're here and you've got dreams to do such and such, and then all of a sudden you meet Mrs. Wright or Miss Wright, or you meet Mr. Wright, and everything gets sidetracked. You say, now my focus is this boy, this girl, this one I'm going to marry. This is more important. And so you focus your attention to fulfill this dream, and now your first dream is kind of sidetracked. How about another one? You're pregnant. You're about to have a child. Your life has changed forever. You're going to have two children. You're going to have three children. But we have only had three children, so that's all I can say. But those things have changed our life. Our life has changed. They're altered forever. Why? Because of the introduction of, listen, a duty. We have a job. We have a task. It's in front of us. And sometimes we have other ideas, other concepts, other dreams in our heart. But those things have to take second to this assignment from heaven. They have to be second. I've talked to some who have these dreams in their heart, and yet they're married, and their spouse doesn't necessarily see it. Did you know that it could be that God is not denying that dream, but he's delaying it until a future time? There's some who have talked to me and said, God wants to do something incredible in my heart. I see it with the eye of my faith. I see what God wants me to do. I'm gifted in this area, and yet I have several children. The truth is that's your job. That's your assignment. That's your duty. That takes precedent. Maybe that's not what you had in mind to begin with, but here they are, the blessings from heaven. Perhaps you get sidetracked or sidelined by something difficult that takes place. A loved one who needs care. Perhaps you have been sidetracked by something that you did not foresee, didn't want, but a divorce. And now you're here with children and no spouse to help you. And you say, what's the use in dreaming, Pastor? I got mouths to feed. I've got stuff to get done. I've got bills to pay. This is right in front of me. Don't talk to me about dreams, Pastor. I've got this stuff that I've got to get done. The truth is that, if you allow it, could be a dream from heaven as well. Because think about it. When you enter the end of your life and you look back, which is something that's healthy. I've done it ever since I was a teenager. Imagining in your mind that you're 65 or 85, looking back, and you're asking the question, what will I wish I had done? You know what you will have wished you have done? To pour your time into the children. To pour your time into they're not interruptions. It's just a new duty. And maybe that wasn't your dream, but it was God's dream for you. Maybe it wasn't what you wanted to do, but it's what you and your spouse decided needed to be done at that moment. And this is what it is. Solomon, build this temple. It's going to take you several years. And it might distract you. It might keep you from doing other things. But here it is. Titus, I need you to go over here. How long? For a long time. Those Cretans are really messed up. It's going to take you a while. Okay. Joshua, I need you to take these people who Moses couldn't take in. I need you to lead them into the promised land. Really? What you don't understand is I've been preparing you all this time for this moment. Sometimes God's dream comes out of a sense of duty, desire. What is it for you? Joseph, he says, God has given me a dream. And in this dream, this is what's going to happen. Quickly, very quickly, I just want to take you through a couple of things that I have in my heart to just share with you. The first thing, when you're saying, how can I discover that dream? Can I tell you this? In the first place, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I've told it to you even recently, but the interpretation I believe that is really getting at is not that He's just going to fulfill all of your desires, whatever they are. It's when you first delight yourself in the Lord, He's going to plant within you, inside of your heart, the desires that He has in store for you. But oftentimes we sidetrack. We say, God, give me the dream. I'll spend time with you later. God, give me the dream that you have for my life. Tell me your will, Lord. But really, I'm not interested in getting close to you. Can you write down this verse of Scripture? It's in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. The idea is placing yourself on the altar as a living sacrifice, delighting yourself in the Lord, putting Him first. See, the truth is, if you read the story of Joseph, all throughout the story of Joseph, here is a righteous man. Here is a man who is in right standing with God. Point out to me a negative quality in the life of Joseph. I can't find it. You say, well, he should not have shared his dream with his brothers. That's where his problems came in. But you don't know that. You don't know that. It's not a sin to tell somebody your dream. And the truth is Joseph was a righteous man. All throughout his trials and tribulations, it said the Lord was with Joseph. When Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife said, no one's watching. You can do this thing that God has commanded you not to do. It's okay, Joseph. You can do it. And Joseph says, how? How can I sin against God by doing this thing? He says, no, it's not going to happen. And he runs out. The truth is Joseph was a righteous man. The first step for you is to delight yourself in the Lord. The second thing is to receive the vision from God. Receive God's vision, God's dream for your life. Make it in your mind. Say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. Did you know I have enough dreams for probably everybody in this room? You know, sometimes marriage counselors talk about how people are different, opposites attract. And sometimes people are on the roof, and sometimes people are in the basement. That's just an idea, concept that says some people's heads are in the clouds, and some people's feet are in cement, right? Well, Lydia and I have known this since we were dating. My head has stayed in the clouds. She's just holding onto my ankles and pulling me back down to earth and saying, this is what you have right now in front of you. And I say, but what about? And then I just go back up into the clouds and dream some more. But at the end of the day, I truly just want what God wants. Can you write this verse down? It's in the book of Jeremiah. It's familiar. But then there's a verse before it that is important to keep in mind. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The New International Version says it. That's the version I would memorize and on this verse. I'm just telling you, it's a powerful idea. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. The truth is, if you discovered what God's dream was and God's dream is for your life, it would be what you would want for your own life if you had His perspective. If you just saw things from His perspective, if you just saw things from His vantage point, and you said, and you say, God, give me this. And you know what He's saying? He says, you don't want that. He says, what you really want is this, and this is what I'm going to give you. That's how good God is. He has plans to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future, something that we can look forward to. And when we're dependent on Him, when we're delighting ourselves in Him, He plants those desires in our heart. And when we have delighted in the Lord and put Him first, it's like the dawning of the sun where the light just begins to get a little bit brighter. And we say, oh, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. Well, I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't see it all. And now I see it all. Praise the Lord, He didn't give me what I was asking Him for. Praise the Lord, He gave me something better than I could have ever dreamed or imagined. He says, I have plans for you. See, the truth I want you to see is to receive God's dream for your life. Not think up your own dream. Because we can all do that. But what does God want you to do? One godly minister said it this way, I'd rather be two steps behind God than one step ahead of Him. I'd rather be two steps behind God than one step ahead of Him. I never forget when I was probably 20 or 21 years old, I had this dream in my own heart. I had thought it up myself. I was going to do this incredible project. And while I'm in the middle of it, I spent hours and hours and hours, hours and hours and hours doing this little project and staying up late, getting up early and doing this project. And I remember 2 weeks into it, I felt the Holy Spirit say, what are you doing? What are you doing? I didn't ask you to do it. I don't want you to do it. You need to stop. I thank the Lord for the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord, but also the stops of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Sometimes He says no. Why? Because He has something better in store. But in verse 8 of Jeremiah 29, you don't have to look it up, but just read it later on. He says this. He says, don't listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. Don't listen to your dreams which you have caused to dream. The Living Bible says it this way. Don't listen to the dreams that they invent. Have you invented your own dreams? Have you burned a lot of time doing your own ideas? Let's wait, delight ourselves in the Lord, and receive God's dream for our life. Receive it. Joseph didn't manufacture a dream where everybody was going to bow down to him. He just had the dream. It was almost an interrupted thought. He's going to sleep. He's waking up. He's going to sleep. He's waking up. He's going to sleep. We think he was probably 17 when he received this dream. And so as a 17-year-old boy, he just has this dream. And then he has another one to confirm the first one, that all of the sheaves are going to bow down to his sheave. And all of, he says, you guys are going to bow down to me. Not just receive God's dream, but now listen, eliminate the competing voices and visions. Eliminate the competing voices and visions. What do I mean by that? Joseph, you're not going to be in a position where you're over us. Who do you think you are, Joseph? Sometimes family can be the most difficult to convince of the dreams that God has put inside of your heart. Jesus, his brothers and sisters are outside waiting to hear from him. Jesus, at his own hometown, Jesus' own brothers and sisters did not believe that he was the Messiah. Jesus' own home folk didn't believe him. He goes back to his hometown and it says, who does Jesus think he is? Is he not the carpenter's son? Oh, well, we know Jesus. No, the Messiah. Eliminate the competing voices and visions that you have surrounding you. Stay focused on what God has told you. Sometimes you ought not to share it, especially if you think that it's not going to be well supported by the people around you. Who else do you need to be around you to help you accomplish the dream that God has put inside of your heart. Next, allow God to prepare you for what He has prepared for you. Allow God to prepare you for what He's prepared for you. What do I mean by that? You read the story of Joseph. It took him at least 12 to 13 years before he entered a place of prominence. He's sent off into slavery. He's sent off and bought by his own family. He's to a place that he doesn't know, the language he does not know. He doesn't know any of the culture around him. He's just outside of his comfort zone. What are you doing, God? He could ask, what are you doing, God? And yet God had a plan all along. We sang about it. The verse of Scripture is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Looking back, Joseph tells his brothers who are afraid once they find out Joseph is in a place of prominence, and here we are, we're bowing to Joseph. And they were concerned. They said, Joseph's going to hurt us like we hurt him. And he says in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, what you meant for evil, God turned it for my good. He meant it for good. He allowed me to be in this place so that I could save our people. And because Joseph was in a place of prominence, the whole Israel nation was saved. In its seedling form, they were all able to be rescued from the great poverty that was all around. But Joseph had to be prepared. He could not do it as a 17-year-old boy. He had to go through what we would call the University of Hard Knocks. Are you there this morning? Have you received God's vision? You say, I know God wants me to do this, but what is going on? The Bible says that there remains seed time and harvest. Sometimes they say seed time and harvest, but there remains seed time and harvest. And sometimes when we have heard from God, He's got something in mind that He's preparing for us. He needs you to be ready to do what He's told you to do. He's preparing you for what He has prepared for you. He wants you to do it. He's given you the dream to do it, the vision to accomplish it. But allow God to work through you. Last thing I want you to see is meditate on God's promises instead of your own limitations. Meditate on God's promises instead of your own limitations. I can't do that. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't accomplish that. No, meditate on what God has said to you. Joseph, there's going to come a day when these other people are going to bow to you. You're going to be in a place of prominence. Joseph, don't lose sight of that. Here he is in a foreign land. Here he is in a foreign area, and he doesn't know anybody. Nobody knows him, and yet he knows God is watching. He knows God is with him. He knows God's working through him. God's working with him. God's giving him success where he's at. God allowed Joseph to succeed with Potiphar's house. God, even when Potiphar's wife accused him wrongly and Potiphar threw him into jail, and then now he's sitting there in the prison, little by little, the prison guards, they started leaning on Joseph because he was so good at what he did, organizing and getting things done around the prison. And so they were putting him in charge of things even in prison. What was God doing? God was using him and developing him, and God was with him. Meditate on God's promises. Did you know when Mary, in Luke 1:35, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore, that holy child who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary knew that she was going to be the mother of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He even said, you will call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. He even showed it to Joseph. Joseph, this is what's going to happen. Do you know in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. Do you know what that means? That means maybe she didn't share it with anybody, but she tucked it away inside. And maybe here's an 8-year-old Jesus, and he's doing what 8-year-olds do. And maybe here's a 10-year-old Jesus, and he's doing what 10-year-olds do. And Mary is pondering these things in her heart. One day, he's going to die for the sins of the world. Maybe she didn't know exactly what that looked like, but she pondered these things in her heart. 12-year-old Jesus goes to Jerusalem and begins to ask questions in the temple, and they're wondering where he is. Where is Jesus? And Jesus says, why were you looking? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? Mary didn't go around and say, see, he's the Son of God. She just pondered these things in her heart and tucked them away. One day they would come to pass. This morning, all I want you to see is that God has a dream for each one of us. God has a dream for our families. God has a dream for our church. We're seeing that fulfilled every day. We're seeing that come to fruition, and we're going to get there, working through from dream to fulfillment. Praise the Lord for those activities that we're going to see. But the first starting place is to know that God has something that He wants you to do. And your job as a Christian is to find out what that is. Many things He's already spelled out in His Word. His will is His Word. But then there are other unique things, things that are just for you, that He wants to speak to you. Maybe He'll use His Word to leap out of off the page and onto your heart. Maybe He'll use His Holy Spirit to just lead you. Maybe He'll use holy discontent. Something must be done. God can use all of those avenues to get His dream planted into your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that You have put inside of our hearts what You want us to accomplish. No matter if we're young, if we're old, no matter if we have been sidetracked, no matter if we have been put on the shelf by decisions that we've made, Lord, You have things in our heart, ideas, dreams. Lord, I pray that You would see those things birthed again inside of our heart. Give us the courage to hold on to them and to meditate on them. Father, in this auditorium, Your first and foremost dream for each one of our lives is that we would bow our knee to You. Lord, I thank You that when the time was right, when everything was as it needed to be, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And now, by an act of our will, we can say, Jesus, be my Lord. We can say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God, that You died on the cross for my sin, that You were raised from the dead to prove You are the Son of God. I place my faith where You have placed my sins, on Jesus. And Lord, I pray that that dream inside of our heart that we would be right with You could be fulfilled. That we would know that we know that we know that we are children of God, that we have an eternal home in heaven waiting for us. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who needs to pray about that with me. Pray You give them courage right now. While we sing, we are going to have this altar open. I pray You give them courage to come down and let me pray for them. Father, there's others in here. You've put things in their heart, and they continue to stuff it, to push it away. They have their own agenda. I pray, Lord, that we would bow, get off of our agenda and onto Yours, and see Your dream fulfilled in our life. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name.